Amen. Let's turn together for our scripture text, Hebrews 11. Just one verse there, Hebrews 11, verse 29. As I said before, we're jumping forward in history, having looked at various men and women in the book of Genesis, now Moses' parents, the life of Moses, and now the people of Israel. So Hebrews 11, just verse 29. Hebrews 11, verse 29, that's found on page 1196. Hebrews 11 at verse 29, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And that's our text. So by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, are we firmly convinced that our God is stronger than our enemies? Or to put the question in another way, do we believe that the people of God are better off than the people of this world? That he can save us from our foes, and in the end, God's people will be greater blessed, more richly blessed, rewarded than all of the things, all of the trappings that this world has to offer. The fact is, God's people are often tempted, the church is tempted to doubt or to question, to undermine the ability of God. When we read in the Bible that nothing is impossible for God, that it seems that there is something, some things that are impossible for God. But when we look at specific men and women in the past, we look at Abraham and Sarah. They tried to help God along as they introduced Hagar into the equation. We saw with Moses, he knew that he was going to be used by the Lord, but he took matters into his own hand and he killed the Egyptian. But by faith, we have to learn to not only embrace God's promises, but wait upon the Lord to bring about the fulfillment of those promises in his time and in the manner that he sees fit. It takes humility. Humility to wait upon the Lord and to trust that he will do what he said he will do. This is particularly challenging when we are coming face to face with our own timeline. We want God to work on our time, but to stand still, as the Israelites were told by Moses, stand still and wait for the salvation of the Lord. Because God's salvation does not come in the time that we think it should come, and it often doesn't come in the manner that we think it should come. But as we have seen, true faith learns to follow, learns to submit, learns to go where the Lord sends you, learns to wait when the Lord says wait, learns to look to him for coming salvation. So today, as we move forward in history from Moses and his parents, now considering the people of the Lord led out of Egypt, out of bondage by the hand of Moses, like Abraham, the Israelites do not know where they are going. Remember when Abraham was called out of Ur, he did not know the way. He did not know the path. He had never been there before. He had never traveled to the promised land where the Lord says, this is the place I'm going to give you. He hadn't even seen it. And yet he believed and he went. So now the Israelites, who have known nothing but bondage and slavery for the last 400 years, are called to go to a land that they do not know, that they've never seen, a land that is called the land of the promise, the land of rest, the land of liberty, the land of blessing. They don't see it, and yet they go forth because God is leading them. He's leading them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of glory during the day. As he leads the Israelites out of Egypt, he starts leading them into the way that was set before them, but that path is not a direct path. They don't go the shortest route between Egypt and the land of Canaan. Was God leading them astray? Did they go the wrong way? Did they misunderstand the promises of God? Surely not. Well, today we're going to look at this theme, by faith, some crossed the Red Sea because they looked to the salvation of the Lord. By faith, some crossed the Red Sea because they were trusting in the promises of God. And today and next week, Lord willing, we're going to see a clear contrast. Hebrews 11 is presenting us with the contrast between the people of God and the people of this world, and the blessings that God's people receive and the curse that those who are not God's people receive. So this week, we're going to compare and contrast the Israelites and the Egyptians. Next week, we're going to be looking at Jericho, Lord willing. So then our theme is this. By faith, some crossed the Red Sea because they looked for the salvation of the Lord. By faith, we have to believe that God's people are better off, that what God has promised to us is greater, is a better reward than anything that this world has to offer. By faith, we have to believe that God is able to deliver us from the foe, whatever that foe might be, whoever our enemies might be, that God will deliver us by his mighty hand and an outstretched arm. That is what faith believes. Well, in our first point, then, we look at the act of faith. The act of faith made evident in our reading from Exodus chapter 14. The Lord was bringing his people up out of bondage, out of the house of slavery, and the Lord had sent Moses to be a representative of him, and Aaron would be the mouthpiece of Moses. So Moses was to be the appointed mediator, the one through which the Israelites would be led out. The specific event that Hebrews 11 points to is the crossing of the Red Sea. Following Moses, for the Israelites to follow Moses was an act of faith, because they are leaving behind the most powerful army on the face of the earth at that time. They were leaving Egypt. They were leaving everything they knew. They were leaving, yes, bondage, but there was safety. There was familiarity. Leaving Egypt meant that they were leaving the flesh pots. They were leaving the food that was coming to them in season and out of season. Going into the wilderness, going into the desert, they're leaving the protection of Pharaoh and his army. Going out into the wilderness. How would they know the way in which they were to go? How would they be provided for and protected here in a dry and weary land? And finally, as they come out of Egypt and they begin to transgress, to move their way into the promised land, they transgress in that they are questioning and they are grumbling when the first challenge arrives. So they find themselves at the edge of the Red Sea, and they find themselves in a very dangerous situation. Exodus 14 says that they are hemmed in by the wilderness. They appeared to be wandering in the land. Instead of going straight to the promised land, they're kind of making a circular route. And as Pharaoh sees this, his heart is hardened. And he stirs up his troops, his chariots and his horsemen, and they go out. To Pharaoh, it looks like the Israelites are lost. They don't know where they're going. God is leading them astray. So Pharaoh has an idea. These are like a bunch of frightened kids who had the idea of running away from home, but they made it to the end of the driveway and they don't know where to go. They're lost. So like a parent, Pharaoh is going to go out, round up the rebellious child, and bring that child back home to slavery. Pharaoh could ride to the rescue. Pharaoh was not going to put them all to death. Pharaoh was going to bring them back to slavery. Pharaoh missed the free slave labor. And that sets the stage for our text. So Pharaoh sees the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, and the Israelites are seeing Pharaoh coming, and they're grumbling and arguing, "Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? It's because there's not enough graves in Egypt. Did you bring us out here to be slaughtered, to be murdered here in the wilderness?" We trusted you, Moses, and you have led us astray. Here on the edge of the Red Sea, they really were boxed in. Because if they were to go further south, there is nothing but wilderness and desert. To the north of them is a mountain range which they could not pass. To the east of them is the Red Sea, and to the west is the coming army of Egypt. They were boxed in. They had nowhere to go, standing here on the shore of the sea. The only possible path that they saw, the Israelites saw, was to go back to Egypt to plead for the mercy of Pharaoh and his army, where certain slavery and death of their children would follow. So the sight of Pharaoh and his army, as we can imagine, would fill these people with fear. Our passage actually says this repeatedly in Exodus 14. They feared greatly and cried out. They cried out against Moses and they cried out against the Lord. What are you doing? Why did you bring us here? Why are you sending this upon us? I was content and happy, even if I was in slavery and bondage. I was happy there. Why did you bother with me? Why didn't you leave me alone? They feared greatly and cried out, but the Lord was not done with them. In fact, the Lord is going to use Moses to perform a great and mighty miracle, which is going to strengthen the faith of God's people. As Hebrews 11 puts it, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, following Moses and walking through the Red Sea on dry land was an act of faith. They had to trust that God would continue to keep them. They had to believe Moses as the appointed mediator, the mouthpiece of God, that he was speaking for the Lord. They had to trust that the wind would indeed keep the waves at bay. And they had to walk through what was not a route which man normally would take. In fact, the Red Sea has an average depth of over 100 feet. And at this particular point, it's not exactly clear where they crossed, but at this particular point, it's probably between 5 and 10 miles wide. So this is no small pond. It was a significant body of water. And they have the enemy of Egypt hot on their trail. As they walked through the Red Sea, there was death on either side. Can you imagine walking through the sea and seeing 1,000 feet of water on either side of you and an army behind you? Yet they go forth in faith. What the Israelites are experiencing was, as we saw last week, it's a conflict between fear and faith. What are you afraid of the most? Of in this world? What are you afraid of that will happen to you or what might happen? What fills you with anxiety and worry and dread? Whatever that is the enemy. And we are called to, as God's people, put in one category everything that we fear, all of our enemies, all the anxiety that this world produces in our heart. And on the other category, on the other hand, we have the Lord and his promises. And by faith, we need to look to the Lord and his promises, trusting that this is more, this is stronger, this is better. The reward here is better than anything that the world can offer. The Israelites were more afraid of dying in the wilderness than they were of being a slave in Egypt. But through this act, by walking through the Red Sea by faith, their hearts are strengthened. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He does not lead us astray. If we're walking by faith, our path is set before us. The life of faith is one where we need to choose to believe, to embrace the promises instead of being paralyzed by our fears. It's constantly assessing, am I walking by faith or am I walking by fear? Do I believe that God will do what he says he will do, that he will protect us from all our enemies? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the king and all of his enemies and our enemies being placed in subjection and submission to him? So when doubt and fear comes, when we see the army of Pharaoh or the walls of water on either side, we need to remember what Moses says to the Israelites. If you have your Bibles open, this is Exodus 14, verse 13. What does the Lord say to the people? He says, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord." Don't be afraid of whatever these enemies are. Stand firm and watch. For the Lord will fight for you. Especially in the presence of sorrow, the loss of a loved one, sickness, trials, tribulation. The words of Moses echo clear. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of God. For he is fighting for you. What need we have to fear the things of this world? If God is for us, who can be against us? Having been reminded of this gospel truth, the Israelites are stirred up in faith. They walk the path before them. The Red Sea becomes a road paved for them in the wilderness. Through the valley of the shadow of death, they fear no evil, for the Lord was with them. The way was made open. They were baptized into Moses. A new nation is born. These people are no longer the slaves of Egypt. They are now the people of the Lord. They are now those who have walked the path of obedience. By faith, we believe that God will do what he says he will do, that he will save as he says he will save, even when it appears, to our human eyes that this salvation is impossible. We know that God will do it. So they act in faith and they go where the Lord sends. The east wind blows and the water piles up on either side, and they walk the path before them. Bring us to our second point, which is the reward. What's the benefit that they received when they walked by faith? Well, the benefit is simply this: they passed from slavery to liberty. They passed from bondage to deliverance. Those who believed and obeyed were saved. Hebrews 11, they crossed over as on dry land. If you've ever gone to a significant body of water, you will know that at certain points in this body of water, there's a muddy bottom and rocky terrain. But here, this muddy or rocky terrain was turned into a concrete path, as hard as rock, set before them. There is no slipping, no sliding, no one is getting stuck in the mud. They pass through with cleanliness and safety. The water, which would be their destruction, becomes their guidepost, hemming them in on either side. The water stays at their side, at the right and the left, and the Egyptian army is kept at arm's length because God was fighting for them. What was promised to them was granted, which is salvation. For them, salvation from the foe. They are saved from Pharaoh's army and from the waters of the Red Sea. Salvation is the very thing that God promises to his people. This is what Moses says: "You will see the salvation of the Lord." This is echoed in 1 Peter 1, verse 9. What is the end and goal of your faith? What are you looking forward to? What does true faith look forward to? The end and goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul. What did the Israelites receive? They received salvation. What good is faith if faith does not save? What good is trusting in Jesus Christ if he can't save you from your sins? The fact is, the Israelites had been hemmed in on either side. The Lord was her rear guard, a shield and fortress. The ways of death would not overcome God's people. And even as Exodus 14 concludes, if you still have your Bibles open, you will find the end result of passing through the water, it's twofold. The end result that Exodus 14 says is this: the Lord saved the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptians so that they feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. The end result of passing through the trial unharmed was that their faith was stirred to trust in the Lord and to trust in his appointed mediator. That's what the trial does, right? We've been seeing this again and again, right? Strong faith is a tried and tested faith. The Lord sends trials and tribulations upon you to produce character and endurance and hope. What the Lord was doing in bringing the people this way was he didn't bring them the shortest path because he was putting them in a position to challenge their faith. So when you and I experience hardships, there is a purpose. The purpose is this: God is challenging your faith like the muscles of faith to be broken down and built up stronger so that you learn to trust that God will do what he says he will do, to believe God and to trust in his appointed mediator. They trusted in God and they believed his appointed servant. And in fact, as you look at Scripture, passing through the Red Sea or crossing the Jordan, we sang that earlier with our hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." These particular points in redemptive history are used to describe the Christian faith, right? What is the Christian faith like? It's like passing through the Red Sea. It's like passing through the Jordan. It's going through trials and tribulations, passing from slavery to liberty, from sin to forgiveness, from dirty to clean, from the land of shadow to the land of rest. All of this is provided for us by God's appointed servant. Interestingly, in our passage, we have that staff that accompanies Moses wherever he goes, and Moses lifts up this vessel of deliverance. A wooden pole is lifted in the wilderness, and everyone who looks to that pole will be saved. A new and living way was opened where the way was once closed. A new and living way is open as the staff is lifted up. The way that was once closed becomes a highway to God's people, spared from death and brought to the land of rest. That is what God's people receive. What was promised, salvation, is given. And through the trial, God's people grow in faith and learn to trust God's appointed mediator. But the fact is, not all have faith. Right? There's a contrast in our passage in Hebrews 11. The Israelites, by faith, crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Although the Israelites were safe under the care of Moses, their good shepherd, all those who try to follow, who are not under Moses, who do not pass under the staff of the good shepherd, they are destroyed. So the question before us is this: why were the Egyptians unable to pass through the Red Sea? Why did the walls of water fall down upon them? Well, it was an act of God, to be sure, but Hebrews 11 is making it very clear. The reason Pharaoh and the Egyptians could not pass through the Red Sea is because they didn't have faith. Right? They didn't believe in the Lord and his appointed mediator. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to come into God's presence. Without faith, it is an impossibility to pass into the promised land. We live in a world where many do not have faith. And the things of the faith, The content of true faith is hard for them to understand because these things are spiritually discerned. Without the Holy Spirit, the people in our world cannot understand and will never receive the things of faith. So let's consider, very briefly, what Pharaoh did not have. First of all, Pharaoh did not have the promise of safety. Pharaoh did not have the promise of salvation. The second thing, Pharaoh had rejected Moses as the true leader. Third, Pharaoh and the Egyptians did not accept the Lord as the one true God. Fourth, Pharaoh and the Egyptians did not understand how or why the walls of water had been piled up before them. And all of this at its root is because Pharaoh and the Egyptians did not believe. They did not have faith. So since Pharaoh did not have faith, he had not received the promise, he would not receive the reward. Right? They can go through the motions. They can try to follow the same path. But if they don't have faith, their effort is doomed from the start. So as Pharaoh and his army pursue the Israelites into the heart of the Red Sea, the Lord looks down upon them, not with mercy and grace, but with justice, judgment, and wrath. Destruction comes in three parts. First, the wheels of their chariots get stuck in the mud or fall off. You can imagine how difficult it would be to drive a chariot without wheels. Second, the east wind stops blowing so that the sea is no longer held up. And third, the Lord casts them into the midst of the sea. The water returns to its place, and the entire army of Pharaoh is plunged into its depth so that all those that go in, none survive. Pharaoh, who had once oppressed the Israelites, would oppress them no more. He who had killed the male children of Israel had his own firstborn son killed by the avenging angel. The mighty king of Egypt, who had tried to be a representative of God himself, seeing himself as the son of God, that's what Pharaoh called himself, who tried to keep the Hebrews under his, the recipient of God's wrath. As the title of our sermon makes clear, by faith some crossed the Red Sea. Not all crossed, because not all had faith. Let me just very briefly and pointedly apply this to us as a church. By faith, some crossed into glory, into the promised land. Without faith, you will not cross the River Jordan. You will not cross the Red Sea. If you don't have faith, you will not receive the promised salvation. A good reminder, a pressing application, is you will not be saved based on the faith of your church. You will not be saved based on the faith of your parents. You need to believe. Everyone here needs to have a personal faith in the Lord and his appointed mediator. If you have faith in the Lord as your Savior and you trust the words of Jesus Christ as your mediator, you will be saved, promised, sealed, signed, delivered. You will be saved. When you pass through trials and the Red Sea and the Jordan, it's often given us as a visual image of passing the process of death. Right? When you pass through death, the valley of the shadow of death, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be brought into the promised land of glory and rest. But if you don't have faith and you go through the motions, right? This is really an indictment on hypocrisy. If you don't have faith and you go through the motions and you try to follow in the steps of those who have gone before you, but you don't have faith, you won't be saved. The walls of water or the Red Sea will crush you because you have not trusted in the Lord for your salvation and you have not believed Jesus Christ as his appointed mediator. not all crossed safely because they did not all have faith. So for the Egyptian army, not one of them remained. I want to read a few verses from 2 Thessalonians 3. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 3. Here's the Paul of prayer, which is a warning for us in our world in which we live. 2 Thessalonians 3 at verse 2. That we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you, and he will guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Paul here says that we need to be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And then he goes on to say that he will guard us, the Lord will guard us from the evil one. The fact is, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of enemies in this world. We have evil and wicked men, false teaching, heresies. We have the devil himself who wants to destroy the church. There are a whole lot of people in this world that do not have faith. We need to pray for God's protection, to protect us, protect our children, protect our church from wicked and evil men who do not have faith, and from the evil one who would seek to consume us. But we also have the promise. We also have the promise of a sure and certain deliverance. Instead of being drowned in the water of the Red Sea, on the last day, all of God's enemies will be drowned in the lake of fire, plunged into the depth of the bottomless pit. That's what Revelation promises. All of Christ's enemies and all who have made themselves the enemy of the church will be cast out and will be destroyed. This is the promise that those who live by faith receive, that we will pass through the trial and arrive safely at the destination of salvation. Because he is faithful and he will do it. And all of those who do not have faith, who are enemies of Christ and his people, will be destroyed just as Pharaoh and his army received. Hebrews 11 verse 6 puts it like this. God rewards those who seek him. We believe that those who have faith are better off than those who do not. That it will go well with those who live and those who act by faith. Two conclusions. The enemies of God's people are destroyed. The army of Pharaoh was wiped out. Second consequence, the faith of God's people was strengthened so that they feared the Lord and they believed in Moses as he is appointed mediator. A trial that would wreck an unbeliever serves to strengthen the faith of God's people. So praise God that Jesus is the way, that he has opened the way to pass through the valley so that we arrive safely on the other side. Because by faith in Jesus, we too will pass through the sea of death and into the land of rest. By faith, some crossed the Red Sea because they looked to the Lord for salvation. So may we too live by faith. When we see our enemies, like the devil, the world, and even death, knowing that Jesus Christ will deliver us and will destroy all of our foes. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And when various trials and struggles and tribulations come upon us, may we not doubt, may we not speak in fear, may we not cry out in dread, but rather may we believe, may we stand still, may we look to you for salvation. Because you have promised to deliver us from all our foes. You have promised to bring us safely into the land of rest. So may we fear you, O Lord, may we love you, and may we believe your appointed mediator, even Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.